If you want a little show and you don't know where to go, put on your headphones and hit the mark.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to Hit the Mark with Mark Levy. This is your host, Mark Levy. Of course, giant, amazing thank you to Gabby Van Horn and Nat Towson. Both those were amazing episodes. I really love to record, and you guys seem to really love to enjoy listening to. And you know what, guys? Like, I got a lot of really great episodes coming up. This one right here coming up is a great one. Yeah, I recorded it before recording this a few days before. And if you listen to that Towson, you probably heard this guest arrive. But that doesn't matter. It's a great episode. I'm really proud of it. There's been a lot of great things happening at the show. But we'll talk about that, you know, it's all good. Of course, you know, there's so many ways to support the show. Go to iTunes, rate us, review us, 5 stars if possible. If you like, it helps the show. Today's quote for the show, if you want to possibly win a free t-shirt, so like this is going to be your whole review. It's going to be, I love listening to Hit the Mark, especially on those nice snowy days. Even if the snow turns into rain. You know what? Yeah, this sounds like beautiful and almost poetic. So if you type that exact thing on iTunes, I'll verify it. You also send me like a photo of you giving a thumbs up next to it at hchamppod@gmail.com. Like, send that photo to there, and you will get yourself a free Hit the Mark t-shirt. And, of course, you can buy yourself Hit the Mark shirts. Go to Zazzle.com. We have a store. You know, it's all, you know, all this stuff. There's a lot of cool stuff there. And of course, if you want to support the show, go hitthemark.podomatic.com. You'll see all 187 episodes are numbered, plus the 12 or so that are unnumbered. So yeah, in theory, we're about to hit 200, which is pretty fucking cool in my own personal humble opinion. But yeah, but we're not there in actuality. So if you want to help me get a huge guest, or if you are a huge guest, email hchampod@gmail.com. I will come to you if I have to. Just want someone cool. That's all it is. Yeah, because that's what's most important, to have a cool guest, I think so. And of course, today's guest is Phoebe Sapmari. Really cool person. Really fun episode. Really, really, really good informative episode. I really like that a lot. But before we hear from her, today's film review, I saw It Follows. It is a horror film that's currently right now in New York and L.A., and if you're in New York or L.A., go fucking see this movie. It is so good. It is, like, if you like good horror stories, this is the film for you. It's not gory. It's all psychological, all inside your head. And it might be inside your head. We don't know. It's similar to The Babadook in that style, that tone. The music is also really cool. It's got Maika Monroe, who's going to be a star very soon. I can feel it. She's got a lot of great things going for her, and she was amazing in The Guest last year. She was incredible in It Follows, and I will see any movie she's in. Hell, I'll even see Labor Day, which she's in also. Basically, what I'm saying is It Follows fully hits the mark, and you really should watch it. Also, this episode's really fun. We get a guest appearance from my roommate, who is also right now next to me watching Walking Dead silently. But I
will, hello, podcast!
You'll hear more from him later in the episode. I think you'll dig it. And of course, you'll hear the rest of the episode after the Hit the Mark. Bye. On your headphones and hit the mark. And we're back. Okay, I'm like so excited about this guest. She is someone that I've only known for a little bit, but I've heard of her for a long, long time before I even met her. She's been destroying it everywhere. She does a monthly show with Hans. She's on Scott Beowulf, which is arguably the best named team out there. She works with UCB One on UCB Comedy. She's the one, the only Phoebe Sapmari. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks,
Mark,
for coming. Guests will have heard your arrival without me being like, oh, that's Phoebe. last episode, but
yeah. I arrived while you were recording Nat Townsend episode. You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm like, I'm dying right now. This is great now. But it's, I mean, actually, I'm a big fan of arriving early things, so
yeah. I was just there. Oh. I like being punctual.
I'm actually really big on that, too. Like, I remember in ninth grade, I was in a theater class, mm-hmm. Where, like, the director was like, okay, so early is on time, my time is late, and late is really, really late. And
yeah.
Like, that makes sense, and it got in my head, and I, yeah.
Right. Well, what I always like to think about is you should be ready to be participating in whatever is happening at the time, not getting there at that
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
So, if you need to get somewhere and then get your bearings and get comfortable. Then that I like to factor into that time into my
totally understandable. Day. Like, yeah. And today's like a crazy busy day. Besides for recording that Thousands episode, I've been wanting to do a stupid web video about me with just snow in my beard. And I literally stood outside for 5 minutes with my phone. Because I don't have a camera that's easily accessible or anything like that. And I just, like, I'm going to make this video right now. And it's a 30-second long video. It's gotten a lot of love on the YouTube and the Facebook, so that's good.
That's great.
But it's been a long day. It's not going to end yet, which is totally fine.
You know, it's a full moon today.
It is?
And it's all about, an opportunity to declare your intentions.
Hold on one second. Yeah, you're right, Phoebe. Today is a full moon, and sometimes guests do come back.
Yeah.
Nat Towson just returned. You won't hear from him, but yeah, he's back.
Yeah.
He came back. But it is a full moon. So.
Today's a full moon. and it's a time when you can release old things and set your intentions for the future. So.
I like that.
Yeah.
I mean, this podcast was on hiatus all February because I had a really shitty February.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the concept of, like, just leaving that baggage behind.
Yeah. Staying in the present moment is important, but at times it's good to take a moment and look forward and say, you know, what you'd like to see happen. And there's a lot of things happening in my life project-wise that I had an amazing meeting with a network earlier today, actually.
Nice. That's really awesome.
Yeah. And
I'm not going to ask you anything.
I'm
not allowed to say anything.
I can't speak specifics, but it's a recognizable network, and they're pitching my idea to the executives. So
that's awesome.
And it's not just my idea. It's the idea of three of my colleagues and I, Lauren Besser, Tessa Hirsch, and Katie Sicking.
All three amazing women. So
amazing.
I feel like that might be what we were talking about with a couple of them last night at the Beast.
Yes.
Yeah.
And yeah, we were at the Beast last night. I went to Lloyd Knight to support my girl Lauren Besser. And then
and Katie. Out.
Yeah.
They're on the same team.
Yeah. Well, Lauren Besser and I ended up going out to dinner afterwards. Then I met her family, and that was awesome.
Nice.
And, the four of us have been working on a web series that's called Women, Inc. And it imagines an alternate universe in which it's been a matriarchy this whole time.
Oh, that's cool.
And we are the CEOs of a corporation called Lehman Sisters.
Yeah.
And we're being sued by men because we're not paying them equally and we're not hiring them equally.
That's great.
It's an amazing
concept. It reminds me of the basketball video you guys did.
Oh.
Like the basketball video, which also features previous guest Gabby Van Horn and future guest and my roommate Michael Romanos.
Yes.
And like that's just like, because he told me, I'm like, oh, that's cute. And then I saw my whole t-shirt. It's like a brilliant fucking video.
Thank you.
Because like you hit everything so specifically.
Thank you.
And it's just brilliant. Like I really enjoyed that video.
Yeah, I'm a big, big fan of questioning stereotypes and gender normative stereotypes, and B-ballers is definitely throwing everything on its head and questioning sexuality, questioning all kinds of things, so you'd find those themes in a bunch of
throughout the whole video, actually.
Throughout the whole video,
yeah.
And in my work in general.
Yeah, I mean, your work has always been so bold. The things I've seen, I've been like, wow, yeah, and like, yeah. It's really, because I didn't even meet you until like 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And like, I've lived with Mike for like 7 months right now.
Uh-huh.
And like, he's like, yeah, I do a lot of work with Phoebe. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, at that point, I'm like, yeah, I heard of you. And like, and I saw yourself, like, holy shit, this girl's really talented.
Oh, thank you. I love your roommate, Michael Romanos,
yeah.
So much.
He's a good dude.
I love working with him. I met him in a Christian Capozzoli workshop, and then we were put on a Supernova team together.
Right.
And then I just knew, I love his brain. His brain makes me so happy. And we've had the pleasure of writing stuff together with Scott Beowulf. And
yeah.
We've been performing sketch live. We've been making videos, and we do improv together. And I love every second of it. That team is like a
it's
dream.
It's a really fine team.
It's a dream team. That's a special team that's going places. Just
yeah.
It's just, I feel it. It has the magic. It has the chemistry. It has the talent. And we're all so good to each other.
Yeah.
We're all friends who like hanging out with each other. So it's one of those special, you know, collaborations. That's
the best way that collaborations can happen.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. That, like, it, like, warms a little, like, improviser heart, you know?
Yeah.
Like, my nerdy little, like, because, like, I come from a theater background,
yeah.
And I'm big on the idea of, like, ensemble. And I feel like mm-hmm. a lot of plays are not ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
almost everyone plays I ever write are ensemble-based plays. Like,
yeah.
Everyone at least has a few moments, even right. if, like, characters are smaller, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, like, it's so weird. Like, I feel like there's so few artistic pursuits out there that are mm-hmm. not ensemble-based naturally, beside for, like, music.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much, like, I mean, theater should be. Improv is,
yeah.
but improv is part of theater, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, with Scott Beowulf, I think all of us met in a Christian Capozzoli workshop, although Andrew Coulson and I didn't actually take a class together. He took a class with some of the other members, and I asked, actually, Michael Romanos and Patrick Williams to be on a three-prov team for the 3-on-3 tournament
right.
in the fall. We put our name in the hat, but didn't get picked.
Right.
And then I ended up just going to support friends, because so many of my friends were in
it. Did you get chosen for one of the
wild
card teams?
And I got chosen for one of the wild card teams and made it into the semifinals.
Oh yeah, you were in the one with the...
Dark Passenger.
That was Julian Alex
Darmani French. And Alex French.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was an incredible experience. Very, very, like, exciting to me. And I had just gone through a breakup, and like literally 2 days before that happened, and so it was a big sign for me
yeah.
that like you're gonna be okay, do what you love, the universe is paying attention, and you know just keep doing what you're doing, but I still had made that team with Patrick and Michael, and wanted to continue pursuing that. And then at the same time, roughly the same time, they had just started a team with the four of those guys, Michael, Mike Green, Patrick Williams, and Andrew Coulson. And we realized that we should combine those two teams, and because we all did a show together, and Andrew, I was told the story later on, Andrew kind of took one of them aside and was like, should we ask Phoebe to be on our team? And and I just felt so honored that they, you know, wanted me to be a part of their team.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, let's just combine both of these teams and make it a big old improv / sketch / video team.
Yeah.
And let's do it all.
Which that's awesome.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's going great so far.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I love what we're making.
Yeah. So, like, what was, like, your big comedy inspirations growing up?
I loved SNL growing up. I loved Kids in the Hall. Kids in the Hall I watched with my brothers, and then we would just make up our own bits. We called ourselves, I have a bunch of siblings, and we called ourselves.
How
many? Well, in my immediate family, it's four siblings, and then I have a half-brother, but growing up, the four siblings, that we would call ourselves ESPN, because it's Elizabeth, Shandor, Phoebe, and Nick. And we're all very musical, so we would sing together, play music together, act like, you know, animals bouncing off the walls, like just whether it be creating characters or just making each other laugh or, so... My siblings were big influences on me in that regard. Really, all very fun-loving, ridiculous people, and very talented and inspiring individuals. My sister's a singer-songwriter. My brothers are both musicians. My you know, everyone's like very artistic, right, really inclined. And then I would say that Jim Carrey had a big influence on me. I watched a lot of In Living Color.
Such
a
great show.
Who else? I mean, over the years, just so many people off of SNL have inspired me. a lot of the ladies of SNL, of course.
Who's your favorite?
Like, Kristen Wiig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love how you even have to finish that question. Like, Kristen Wiig.
Yeah.
Yeah. She is a genius. I think she is the best of the ladies since Poehler.
Yeah.
Like, since,
Love Amy Poehler, too. Poehler's definitely. Yeah.
And then, like, I mean, I'm also obsessed, like, Molly Shannon.
Yeah.
Also.
Oh, Molly Shannon was huge.
Anna Gasteyer, too.
Yeah. So many. But Molly Shannon, in particular, I was a big nerd, loser kid growing up. Like,
Weren't we all?
I don't know. I feel like...
Actually, I know, a handful of improvisers that were, like, the cool kid.
Yeah. You know what? That's interesting.
Like, I feel like we all were actors or, like, film kids or just, like, the kid that, did not know where they belonged.
Right. Yeah, in the first town I lived in, I was sort of accepted for who I was because they had always known this, you know, a Phoebe. And then I moved to the second...
What does that mean?
I moved to another town, and all of a sudden I realized how different I was, and that people, you know, I was on a boys' soccer team growing up. I was a hardcore, like, I did not abide to, certain stereotypes or gender roles, and I didn't see... I thought that was all nonsense, and... and I would call girls out as a kid for doing things just to be girly.
That's insane. As a kid?
As a kid, I would be like, why are you pretending you're afraid of the ball? I can tell you're not even afraid of it.
Wow, you were like a mature little child.
I was too mature
for your own good.
Too mature for my own good. And that's another thing that got me made fun of when I moved to the next town that I lived in.
Where are you from?
I grew up in Dobbs Ferry, New York, and then I lived in Westport, Connecticut,
okay. Which
is known as the epicenter of racism and, extreme.
I didn't know that. I mean, I may have driven through Westport, but...
Yeah, it's a notorious... It's known for being extremely homogenous and, like, the goal is to be... extremely normal, whatever that means.
Okay.
And yeah, it's a very, very strange thing. But people that I've met over the years that are also from there or lived there for a period of time, we have this moment where they're like, oh, okay, you know, yes. And it's really fascinating that a place can carry so much weight in terms of that type of approach to social, you know, interaction, but it really does. And so I was called out for being, too introspective or wise for my own good, tomboyish, too aggressive, too physical, too this, too that. There was, whatever was unique was just not accepted. And I was going through like a family like divorce during those years,
okay,
and that
so
makes you
of,
start to question your reality and your you know what I mean, like things break down and you're more mature because you're forced to grow up and see the world, you know, earlier than maybe some other kids are seeing it. So
and I feel like for me, I was like the exact I come from. Not a sheltered background, but like a family like that's like pure like love, like everything's. I'm an only child, so like it's like that whole like I was very safe.
That's
that word.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I mean, it was fun. I mean, I just can't imagine the like your background where it's like clearly very different, which is amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, it made me into the person that I am today. So I embrace my history, but. It was certainly a challenge at the time, And but yeah, it definitely made me someone who appreciates people being good to each other and people being nurturing and loving towards one another.
Yeah, I mean, that's the most important thing in the world, in my personal opinion. Like I choose to live my life very karmically.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like nothing else matters but, like, treating people right.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll hopefully come back at you, like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, like,
that, oh, definitely.
Like, that's, like, why I practice karma as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. You know?
Yeah. I talk about karma all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm liking this conversation.
Yeah.
I'm having a good time.
Me too.
It's so funny, because, like, I'm, like, for those that don't know the sixth blizzard of the year for New York, it's, like, so poetically beautiful outside.
Yeah,
I feel like we should
gorgeous.
Be having, like, hot chocolate.
Oh, man,
right.
I'm gazing out the window, and what I see is this beautiful building next door that is completely covered in
snow
and vines.
Yeah.
That are you know how in the springtime when all the leaves start to bloom and the sides of buildings are covered in green?
Yeah.
So this building that we're looking out at is covered in just the vine system.
And there's a lot of snow on
it. And there's snow that's coating all of the edges. It's going to be a beautiful photograph. I'm going to take a photograph so you can post it.
Yeah. you can post it too. I mean,
no, I mean,
it's your photograph
along with the
episode.
The episode.
Okay, so you're like, you're gonna take it now and like post it like in like a week and a half.
Sure.
Okay, I'm cool with that. Yeah. So like, because I mean, like, you know, the way that the snow's been this year,
mm-hmm.
it's like a beautiful snow like this, and then it rains immediately after.
Yeah.
And then like you're like walking in a puddle.
Yeah.
And
this winter has felt like some kind of epic, like. Journey or test or like it's like this winter is testing us all. I mean, it's the coldest winter in 80 years.
I mean, the first half of the winter it didn't snow. It just was like 8 degrees outside.
Yeah.
And now it like and then like something happened like with that giant blizzard that was supposed to hit us that like destroyed Boston.
Uh huh.
And we got like 10 inches and we just got like 8 more blizzards after that. That
yeah.
All like 5 inches.
Just nonstop, nonstop. It's been quite a winter.
It's fine though. I mean, like we choose to live here.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I can live in Florida still, so, like,
yeah.
I don't want to live back in Florida unless I have to.
Right.
But, I mean, I love New York. Like, New York is, like, a place where I feel like I should have been born.
Yeah, I don't think I could live anywhere else, or at least, I mean, I think I could visit places for long periods of time, but every time, the only other place I lived was L.A. for 7 months, and I missed New York. And every time someone was traveling to New York, I felt such a pull, like, that's where I want to be. So I have a feeling that I'll be sticking around.
Yeah, there's, like, a lot of people I know that, like, live in L.A. that I see in New York so often.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, like, I'm, like, I've seen, like, Shalia, like, 5 times
mm-hmm.
since she's, like, since she moved to L.A., like, 8 months ago.
Yeah.
Like, it just, like, proves, like, how much people want to be in New York.
Yeah. How much is happening there. Yeah.
So, what were you like in high school and stuff like that? Were you still like kind of like questioning everything?
So in high school, I moved a total of 20 times.
Oh my God.
Due to the parents' divorcing situation.
Yeah.
And I dropped out of high school and I wasn't going to high school for about 6 months. And I basically was. I was the kid in the family that was trying to hold it all together.
Yeah.
Through the divorce situation, and I was like, "Yeah, okay, you need me to sort of be strong."
Where
are
you in the?
I was third or fourth.
Okay.
And
so you really were the P.
Yeah.
What is that? How it is?
Yeah, the order. ESPN is the order.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. And I was a good kid who got good grades and did what she was supposed to do, and my parents were kind of like, we're sorry, you know, that this is the way things are, we're trying to, and basically they had remarried people who were not very generous, and they were very critical of of the kids. It was basically a way. They were narcissistic people who were only interested in my parents giving attention to them as opposed to us. So thus we were very neglected, or at least I was, because I was doing what I was supposed to be doing, and so Phoebe's fine.
Yeah.
You know? And,
like, don't worry about Phoebe.
Don't worry about Phoebe. Phoebe's got it. And my brothers were kind of acting out in one way or another, so that gets attention. When there's an issue, there's attention brought to that. But in any case, I was kind of fending for myself in high school, and I bounced around. I lived with a friend. I lived with a boyfriend for part of that time. I was basically on my own from the time I was about 16. Like, I lived in various places, and I had a boyfriend at the time who had a talk with me, sat me down, and was like, "Well, what do you want to do? I mean, you're obviously very smart. You can't just not go back to school. What is the situation? What do you want to do?" And I, at the time, I said I wanted to be an English teacher. And he's like, "Well, it sounds like you have to go back to school in order to do that." And I was like, "Okay, you have a point." So, I went back to high school and ended up graduating on time by going to night school and summer school. I had a class scheduled from 7:30 in the morning till 10:30 at night.
Oh my God.
The weirdest thing happens in the city school system, because I graduated from high school in Queens, is that they will give you certain credits for things, but other things are harder to get partial credit for, like gym class.
Really?
So I had like, three gym classes in a semester. I was in amazing shape, let me tell you.
Well, you're always, looking at you, you're a person in good shape. You take care of yourself.
Yeah, I guess those habits started kind of young. I also believe that, you know, you take care of your instrument, it takes care of you.
Right.
So the body, like, we forget that the brain is a body part that needs care and nurturing, and that if you take care of your body, it takes care of your brain as well.
That's completely agreeable.
You know, it's very logical, but if we mistreat our bodies, our brains are going to suffer as well. So
you took three semesters of gym.
I had weight training at 7:30 a.m. and then I had a volleyball class in the early afternoon, and then the end of the day. Oh, it was night class, and it was just like a general gym. And I went to night school at one of the most dangerous high schools in New York City. It was in Union Square, Washington Irving High School.
In Union School.
Yeah.
Trying to where
right off of on Irving there.
Okay.
Yeah, it's right off of Union Square. On Irving Place.
On Irving Place. What's?
It's called Washington Irving High School.
Because that's right next to where I work.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure. I've never noticed there's a school. It's right next to Chipotle, basically.
It's. I don't know where Chipotle is. It's around the corner from Chipotle.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I literally work half a block from there.
I went to night school there.
And is that still a dangerous school?
I don't know how dangerous.
Imagine it being that dangerous, because
it used to be dangerous.
I believe that. Well, yeah. I'm not saying what, but I just can't imagine now Union Square East.
It was I went to high schools that were security guards, and you walked through metal detectors. You couldn't enter the building unless you showed your schedule. That you belong there.
Your schedule too? Wow.
Let's say, for instance, you're a nerdy 16-year-old who wants to go study in the library before you're actually supposed to be in the building. They will not let you in to the school unless you have class.
Wow, that's the exact opposite. So I went to the most stereotypically good suburban school. It was 75% white people. It was 50% white people. It was completely diverse.
Yeah.
And it was good school. Like, people tried to go to my school because it was, like, good academics, good everything.
Oh, my high school was terrible, and my high school in Queens is now shut down.
And, oh, wow.
It was extremely diverse, Queens being the melting pot that it is. There's
over, what part of Queens was it?
On the border of Long Island City, Jackson Heights.
Oh, okay, that weird cornery area. Yeah, yeah.
And there were over 126 languages spoken.
Oh, my God. That's like straight up New York right there.
Yeah, and white kids were a minority. It went like black first, then after that was Asian.
Another probably Latino.
And Latino, and then Middle Eastern.
And then probably white.
And then, like, yeah. I was
because that's such a weird melting pot spot. Like, yeah, because Jackson Heights, I used to date a girl who lived in Jackson Heights, and it was, like, every block was a whole different nation.
Yes. Yeah, totally.
And, like, not even, like, same continent necessarily. Mm-hmm. I remember, like, one block was, like, Chile, and the next block was, like, India.
Yeah, my graduating class had more than 1,000 people in it.
My graduating class had, like, 700 people. It's funny, because I had Gabby Van Horn on here recently.
Yeah.
And her whole, like, high school had 700 people. And I almost, like, shit myself when she told me that. I'm like, no, that's not believable. I mean, I believe it, but I'm like, that's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, so it definitely taught me about diversity and understanding difference and not being afraid of it.
Yeah.
Because I think that's where a lot of fear-based hatred comes from, is that you don't understand it, you've never been exposed to it, so you're scared of it, and thus you
it makes me so mad. Like, I do that type. Like, I just don't I don't like that. It makes me very uncomfortable. I'm big on, like, being like, if you don't understand something, try to make yourself understand it. It's not hard.
It's not hard.
Granted, this is, like, my nerdy liberal Jewish background from, like, growing up in suburbia Florida. So,
well, I think what it is that we're the animals, the creatures that we are, our brains function to protect ourselves from harm, protect ourselves to, or and so we're constantly taking in information and then categorizing it so that we can use that information to get our food and to get our, you know, to our ways of survival.
Right, and I definitely understand, like, I understand, I mean, I'm not going to walk up to an area where I would definitely get murdered and, like, be like, because I, as a person that learns to, like, that strives to learn, I know what I can and what I can't do.
Right.
I'm not going to walk into, like, some area and be like, hey, and see something, like, very offensive.
Right.
And hope to live.
What I'm getting at is that this is an old way of being that has to do with survival in an earlier time of our evolution, when we needed to think that way in order to not die. And now we still have that way of categorizing and creating boxes for things and put, you know, in terms of labels and, like, as language in of itself, that's a series of boxes that we place meaning into.
Yeah.
Now we have enough higher consciousness and enough awareness that we should have more fluidity in those labels, in the determining of meaning. And that's why, like, it's, you know, so important to be able to see why are you drawing this line there? What, and is that categorization limiting you, or is it helping you? Is it, you know, nurturing?
That makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I'm liking this episode a lot. Like, it's not gonna be like, I can tell it's not gonna be like one of the, like, hilarious episodes, but I mean, this great. There's a reason I don't call this a comedy podcast.
Yeah.
Like, I will never call this a comedy podcast, because, like, that's, first off, too much pressure.
Right.
And this podcast is a conversation where I try to learn about my guests and, you know, like, et cetera, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I'm fucking floored by how much I love this episode.
Uh-huh.
And I'm okay that it's not going to be the yuck fest that some episodes are.
Okay, the second part of it, though.
totally it's guys, get ready though, because like we've been in the future. You're gonna be like, get those Depends on right now. Oh, well, wait. Okay, so you got the Depends. Put them on. Yep, left, right, yeah. All right, cool. Time for yourself.
If you have to go to the store, what I would recommend is
pause. Should we leave like a 3-minute pause? Yeah. So guys, what we're gonna do right now is I'm gonna pause. Let's pause.
I'm just gonna chant for a half an hour.
Or what we can do is you can chant for like 10 seconds, yeah. And then
you can
they
repeat that.
And they can loop it.
Okay, they can loop it.
So you want to chant?
No.
Okay. What we're gonna do right now is I'm gonna let this. I'm not gonna pause, but there's gonna be silence for a few seconds. You can pause, you know, so you won't miss anything. Yeah. And then you're gonna get ready for the Yuck Fest for the next 30 minutes. So we're back! Oh boy, I'm sorry. I'm just fascinated. Like I like learning. Like it's like one of my big things. I really just feel like learning is the best thing that I possibly can do.
I'm, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And like your story so far is like fucking fascinating,
oh, thank
and
you.
I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, what brought you to like comedy?
I was working in publishing. As an editor, a senior editor, I worked at Oxford University Press, Cambridge University Press, and McGraw-Hill, and I...
Those are three really great press...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I worked my way up from being an editorial assistant to a senior editor in about 6 years, and...
That's really fast, I think.
Yeah, it was very fast. I actually started as an editorial assistant, and there's quite a glass ceiling between being an editorial assistant where you're making copies and getting a copy to being actually considered as an editor. That first promotion to assistant editor is very, very difficult to accomplish. And but I had a six-month review when I was an editorial assistant, and my boss, who was a great mentor to me, Sheila Spears, she asked me, you know, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Like, typical six-month review question. And I said, I see myself being a senior editor. And she burst out laughing, like, totally honest response to what it's typically like.
Because it's like... publishing.
That's impossible.
Yeah.
And...
it'd be like being a dog.
Yeah.
Someone being like, "What do you want to be in like 2 years?" Like a cat. Like
yes, exactly. And so it took me 6 years. So she was right to laugh. No, but the point being that you know, I tend to have ambitious.
You're very
goals.
Ambitious.
I'm
that's
very
like
ambitious.
I've always known. Like John Hess told me this a while ago.
Yeah, I like. I like to dream big, and I like to take risks. I like to put myself out there. And what ended up happening? What I often don't do is take risks that are simply selfish or just for me. So, for instance, I was working in publishing and helping other people see their ideas through from concept to bound book. And I was, you know, I had this nagging voice in the back of my head that was like, you're not creating your material. You're not believing.
You're creating other people, helping get,
Yeah. So I went back to school to be for an MFA in poetry and literature. And
what school?
Stony Brook, Southampton.
Great school, right?
Mm-hmm. And Billy Collins was my thesis advisor. I wrote a book of poems. And it was an amazing experience. I got published in some international journals, the most notable of which was the American Poetry Review.
I bet you heard about it, yeah.
Yeah, it's got the widest circulation. It's like American Poetry Review and New Yorker are the two that poets are like, really strive to get published in. And at the same time I went back to start my MFA, I started taking classes at UCB, and that was in 2008.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was very slow to get sort of fully involved in the comedy scene because I had just a lot of fear to get over.
I understand that.
I think I've seen people who step into the community and immediately get like absolutely involved 100% and go through the program one class right after the other and fully immerse themselves. I needed some time to get into
it. Took me a little while. I mean, by a little while, it's maybe a year to get through like the whole program.
Mm-hmm.
But like, which I feel like now everyone gets that program so fast.
Yeah. Yeah. I took 101 with Shannon O'Neill and Zach Woods.
Jesus, that's pretty wild.
In 2008. 2009 was 201 with Ryan Carroll's.
Great.
301 with Chelsea Clark in 2010.
So you were doing
like literally
one class a year.
Yeah.
But I mean, like that makes because like you know you were taking classes like yeah. MFA classes, which are not the like most time. Like, it won't give you time to do an improv class,
yeah.
like, easily.
Well, I just also, as I said, like, really felt that I needed to go slowly.
And you were out. Of, like, I mean,
to, yeah.
the school that you went to was, like, 2 hours away, right?
Yes, yeah. I was living on Long Island for most of that time, and so it's sort of in between the two locations, and, yeah, so I got into it slowly, and then I started helping out friends on set, and I fell in love with a director of photography, and started helping him out on set a lot,
uh-huh.
and then I realized that I really loved that, and I had considered being a photographer in college, and I love to do so many things as part of what what is that quote? It's like the jack of all trades, master of none, is often better than like people often only quote the first half of that quote.
Yeah.
But there's a second half which is very interesting, which is it basically says you know, a lot of times you're actually good at a number of things.
Yeah.
And. So what I ended up discovering is that filmmaking accesses all of my talents, all the things I happen to love to do. And so there's the visual art aspect of cinematography. There's, the writing that I've always done. There is the performing and there's the directing. So the conceptualization of an idea,
the whole understanding how
to put it all together. Also being good at inspiring people and setting people up for success and caring about people, loving what they do, and figuring out, meeting them where they are and helping them get to where they're trying to go. So all it accesses all of those things about me.
That's really cool, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I think that's real. Like, it's something like, before I said I don't want to be an actor, I was like, do I want to be a director, like a film director?
Yeah.
Because I've always been obsessed with movies. Like, always been obsessed with movies since, like, the earliest I remember seeing is, like, Pee Wee's, like, Big Top. But.
Michael Romanos is here.
Yeah. He's home early.
Hey, podcast.
Hey,
Mike.
Hey.
Yep, that's. The guys have mentioned three times during this episode.
What's that?
We've been talking about it.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. my class is canceled. Continue with the podcast.
Okay.
I'll be in my room.
Okay.
If you guys are done, let me know.
All right.
Sounds good.
Cool.
That sounds so awesome.
My podcast.
He'll be on sometime soon. We'll figure out the date for a full episode. That's his first appearance ever, though, the show, actually. Recorded, like...
I feel
maybe
special.
30 episodes in this apartment since I moved here, yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah.
I love my.
This is like the weirdest. Like, okay, I apologize to the listeners if they're weirded out by last week's episode and this week's episode. But you know what? I don't like editing the show because I feel like it's more of a slice of life this way, and I enjoy that. So yeah. So we were talking about filmmaking. I personally, like, I've always wanted to, like, I really almost went to school for filmmaking.
Yeah.
And I was really close to doing that. And I was like, but I really like acting more. And that's, like, really what happened for me there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I never sort of went to school for acting. UCB has been my acting training. And
you've had great teachers, too.
Yeah. So. Christian Capozzoli has been just one of my most influential teachers. I feel like in his workshops I really got to new plateaus. His way of teaching allowed me to trust my body, trust the physicality of something, that and let that be the teacher. And just as I was saying before, that you know, you take care of your body takes care of your brain.
Right.
The very similar approach in terms of trusting your instincts and listening to yourself. And
that makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like, what made you, like, start doing, like, UCB more frequently than, well, once a year? Because, you're one of those people whose name I've heard, like, three or four times before, like, you, like, came back for this. It seemed like Sam Gurwitz.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know that she's also been around for a long time, and then, like, kind of disappeared.
Yes. Yeah.
And I know she went to Magnet for a while, too. That's
right.
Yeah.
What made me get back into it full force? That's a good question. And I realized that I wasn't fully committing to supporting myself. So I had gone back to school for the MFA.
And I'm sure that went well, right?
It went very well. And I had started studying at UCB, but I wasn't fully, like, I needed to have a big lesson in loving myself. And loving myself. And I had a kind of a breakthrough period where I went through a breakup that was devastating to me, and I was like, okay, you know, the problem is that you don't love yourself. And so I started this sort of quest of figuring out how to do that. And I should mention that I, you know, was dealing with overcoming depression, and I think a lot of us suffer from that. I don't feel any shame in talking about it, but it's just like there's a whole, that's another whole can of worms to talk about, but I'm very happy to talk about it, and I love helping people with it whenever I have the opportunity. Reaching out. But one of the things that I realized is that I wasn't fully supporting myself. Like, I could help someone else so much more quickly than I could help myself. And so I just realized I had that, okay, when are you going to do it?
Right.
And this is, and a Martha Graham quote really blew my mind. And I read it regularly, and I hope that people will look it up, but I'll try to remember as much of it because it's a paragraph.
Martha Graham is a very smart lady.
Yes, and it basically goes like this, that there is only one of you in all of time. So it is your duty to express that voice. It's not your job to judge that voice, to determine whether it is good, whether it is funny. None of those judgments are your job. Your only job is to keep your channel open, to allow your impulses to come out freely, and you will never feel satisfied. An artist does not feel satisfied because there is always the drive to create if you're an artist, so you're never done. And that's what, like, there's one other thing about that quote that I want to remember. So you don't judge. And I'm paraphrasing. Quoting, right? But it's like, you just have to worry about, there's never a sense of rest. I said that part. So all you have to do is express yourself. But, it had to do with improv and that basically, I'm trying to remember. Like after an improv set, if you walk away saying, I could have done this and I could have done that, that shows that your creative brain is fully alive and like living.
Exactly.
You never walk away from a set saying, yep, perfect. You know, like you could say that was a great set.
Yeah.
But then I'm sure as you lay down for the night, you know, go to sleep, you'd be like,
I missed that connection. I could have done that funny character.
And
and like it's so funny because like I go sorry for interrupting mm-hmm. but like I go to the gym like so often and like I'm sick and tired of watching people like not make the move that they're being asked for.
Yeah.
On Monday I went to Nerds and someone was like, look at my dog, you know, like it was clearly being an invisible dog, but the way the scene was going, that dog was gonna be needed.
Uh-huh.
And like I'm like, fuck this. If no one's like and like I'm very active in jam, so like I'm the type of person, like, I'll make my scene first, and then, like, I'll support wherever I have to support.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm, like, waiting, like, no one's going, I'm like, fuck this. And I just, like, go out there and do the fucking dog. Like, what's wrong with you? Why are you not doing this? Like, you're gifted something. Like, your teammate needs it.
Yeah.
Why are you not helping your teammate?
Yeah. Yeah, so you were asking when I got fully involved. Sorry. It's like, no, just to bring us around again, it was when I decided, okay, no more judgment.
Just do it.
Just do it.
And you got back in like 13 or 14.
I would say like 13, sort of end of 13. I got into advanced study in January of 2014.
Okay.
And then I got on a house team in January of 2014.
At CUSIC, right?
As well.
Yeah.
At CUSIC and Queen Secret Improv Club. And having that weekly performance opportunity was amazing.
Yeah.
And has been wonderful. I've been on Talon for a year now.
Which that's awesome.
And have had a lot of fun playing with them. And having that regular commitment and you know, any regular team like that, you, as much as you put into it is as much as you get out of it. And, I take it very seriously and, I do a lot of the organizing for the team because I care very much about making it happen. And, it's very important to be committed hard to the things that you want to see something come out.
I fully agree with you 1,000% there.
Yeah.
Trust me, I'm receiving a million emails as we speak right now.
Yeah.
My phone's on silent, so I'm not like feeling my, like because of the 12-hour improv set that I'm doing on Easter Sunday. So.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah, so I'm working hard to get that like all organized right now.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I wanted to ask, like, what got you involved in UCB comedy? Like the web
the stuff. Digital stuff?
Yeah.
I was in 101 with, I think it was 101 with Todd Bieber.
Okay.
And so when I started helping out on sets, I reached out to Todd and was like, I would love to help out. I had been assisting on a lot of, what digital was called before, used to be beta. And I was helping out on the team Scraps.
Fun team, yeah.
Yeah, and so Todd knew me from 101, but then I was also helping out on those sets, doing whatever job was thrown at me, and that's what I highly recommend if anyone's listening and wants to get involved, is that help out on any set and be ready, at the ready, to jump on whatever job is in front of you and do it to completion, and then see if there's anything else you can do, and just be ready to pounce on any way that you can help. And that kind of attitude will be noticed, and you'll keep getting offered to do things.
Okay.
But so Todd, I mentioned to Todd that I was wanting to help out if he had any need for any camera operating, and so I then he asked me to come in to shoot the pranks, a few of the pranks videos that Patrick Knopf and Chris Fly Talker, and so there's those prank videos. There's like a Santa one and another one, and so I shot those. So he and Todd was also one of the shooters on one of those. So he was aware of my work and my ability to shoot, and then I applied for digital using some material I had shot. This is last year, and then I got placed on a digital team.
Nice.
UCB One, and
UCB One is awesome. Like what you guys are doing is brilliant.
Yeah, thank you. I love working on it, and
it's the news comedy.
Yes.
Aspect.
Our news is your news. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was placed originally as a producer and / crew member, and then I ended up doing a lot of director photography stuff for both my team, for other teams, and for the larger community, so they gave me the title of director photography.
Which is an awesome title.
Yeah, very, very proud of it and happy to do it. And then I'm directing my first piece. We're actually shooting it this coming Monday on fracking. We're going to be going out to Susquehanna County, Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow.
With Matt Starr as the correspondent. And I'm directing, and Keith Haskell is DPing, and Orlando Ollier is producing. And we've got an environmentalist who's going to travel with us. And that's going to be a very fun video for people to check out. So,
and fracking is something that's really important to know about.
Yes, very important to know about.
But, I mean, that'll be probably coming out around the time this drops.
I think it'll be a little bit after.
I have no idea the turnaround of those videos, but
It takes a few weeks, but
seriously, keep your eyes out though, for anything from UCB One. Like anything UCB comedy, especially, but like UCB One's been like the Juggalo one. It was amazing.
I believe it'll be out on April 14th.
So like a month from now, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I've been working on that, and I just put together my reel, because you need to reapply every year in digital.
Right.
And you can say you want to opt in, or you can apply for more roles. So I'm applying to be considered as a director and performer and writer. And in addition to being a director of photography and a producer. So I'm excited about that. I just finished working on my reel.
Nice.
And it's really been amazing to look back at a year's worth of work, which is why I'm like, I fully support this way of having everyone apply.
Resubmit.
It's because,
my stuff's online, you know it.
Right. It's really forcing me to consider everything I have learned over the last year, everything I have, you know, all the ways that I have grown and developed, and so it's been like a really good experience to pull it all together. I'm excited about it.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
We're actually ready to wrap up, honestly.
Okay.
So like, what's something about Phoebe Sutmari that people might not know that you're okay sharing? I know you're a pretty open book.
I am very open. What's something that people might not know? That I was married to a woman.
Oh.
That's something people
might not know. I did not know that. That's awesome. Do you mind me asking how long that lasted?
Yeah, we were together for 5 years, but married for two. And, yeah, that's something that people might not know, but is a big part of who I am.
I mean, I assume so. I mean, yeah. Marriage is normally a pretty big deal. That's just like drunken in Vegas, you know?
No, it wasn't drunk.
But yeah, I mean, if you're together for 2 years, yeah. I mean, if you're married for 2 years and together for five,
yeah.
Then like, that's a time period.
Very substantial relationship in my life. And, we were married when it was still not legal in New York State. So we got married in Massachusetts.
Okay.
And then New York recognized marriages from other states, and so we were recognized.
Okay.
And now.
So it wasn't like you got married again or anything like that.
No, yeah. It was just recognized in New York.
There's no reason to get married. Because, that makes no sense to just get married in every state.
Yeah.
Like, hey, honey, let's get married in, Pennsylvania. Right. Okay, why?
Yeah.
Because we're going to Pennsylvania next week. Okay, sure. Yeah. No.
Yeah. So that's something.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. Well, that plugs for things that you're looking forward to that do not involve you, like a movie, a TV show, a book, anything coming up.
Something I'm...
That you want to see, yeah.
That I want to see.
That people might not know about.
Let's see, something I might want to see, but that...
Or something that just, intrigues you, like a movie or something like that.
That I have seen?
Well, that you want to see.
That I want to see.
That's not out yet, yeah. I mean, it could be out by the time it airs. I mean, it could be Chappie. I actually want to see Chappie, even though I heard the reviews were terrible. I won't be surprised if I review it for this episode.
I can't wait for Silicon Valley's new season.
I can't wait either, yeah.
I love that show.
I think it's one of the funniest shows.
It's one of my favorites. I was blown away when I watched that show. Like, I was like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Well, I mean, I'm watching the show. I've always been a Judge fan. But I don't think he's ever been so on point with anything since Beavis and Butthead. But Beavis and Butthead, since, a show about kids, is not taken the same way as Silicon Valley is, where it's...
Love everything about that show. The pacing, the
writing, characters.
The writing is so sharp. Characters.
Zach Woods on that show is the funniest thing.
Yes.
My favorite episode of the whole show is the one where he gets sent out to sea.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Like that.
Stuck in the Prius. it's so good.
I rewatched that because I was that episode for some reason I half watched. I was a little busy while watching.
There are a few shows that will make me block off a night so that I could see it when it first comes out and that I will avoid making plans just to watch.
Like rewatch it again?
Yeah. No, when it's released.
Yeah.
Will plan out my weeks around that show.
I think The Last Man on Earth is going to be like that for me. Watched the first two episodes. I actually reviewed it last episode and was blown away by how good it was.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But... It's just, I feel like some shows need to be watched ASAP, and that's what they have to be.
Yeah.
There's other shows that are a lot more embarrassing that I don't really like to talk about on this podcast.
Uh-huh.
I like that too, but they end up on my DVR only for 12 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. cool.
Yeah.
So about plugs for you, Twitter, Tumblr, shows.
Yeah, I'm Phoebeast on...
So your name, P-H-E...
P-H-E-B... E A S T.
Is there middle initial A?
No, it's just Phoebe plus Beast is Phoebeast.
That's awesome. I love that. Yeah. That's a great Twitter handle.
Yeah.
That's a great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Plus with the fact that your name doesn't have the O and it makes it a little bit easier.
what else? Oh, my YouTube channel is Phoebe Satmari. And you can see my stuff on UCB Comedy too.
Any shows coming up?
Oh my gosh, so many shows.
Yeah.
This weekend I'm a panelist on Indie Cage Match.
Which I'm sure destroyed it, in the best possible way.
Yeah, by the time this airs, that will have already happened. But, I'm going to be in Indie Cage Match with Scott Beowulf
woo.
On April 12th. Is that right? Michael, is it April 12th? I think it's April 12th.
Michael, April 12th?
It's a Sunday.
Yes.
And, so.
I love how you just assumed that he was like listening to like,
I don't mind if you're listening, Michael.
Michael, can you like be in your room for every episode I record from now on? Okay, okay. Well, then I'll make sure I record when you're home.
You want a sidekick that's in his
bedroom? Yes.
Can you drop through the wall?
If the fans want it, let me know or tweet at Michael Romanos, which is actually your Twitter handle, at Michael Romanos. So, yeah.
I love it. so, what else? Other shows.
Yeah.
Well, you can catch me on Friday nights at Queen's Secret Improv Club. The first Tuesday of every month, Hans hosts a show at 2A. It's called Conflict Revolution.
Yeah.
And we have been putting on some kick-ass shows that are really, I love the bits we do. I love that we always interview an audience member about a conflict resolved or unresolved and then do a set based on that. The first three people who did it were Anthony Sneed, Alex Estrada, and Aaron Kiffitz.
Oh, wow.
They told amazing stories. So check that out on the first Tuesday of the month at 2A. And, oh my God, Scott Beowulf, we have so many shows coming up.
So just
check,
be on the lookout.
Yeah, be on the lookout, yeah. I think, is the best course of action. One other thing I want to plug is that I am directing a feature in May. It's called Bruce.
Oh, that's so cool.
And it's about an artist who is struggling with his art. He's not making any money on it, and he's sort of floundering. And then he gets his girlfriend pregnant. And she is like, well, you know, you got to grow up, get a job, you know, at my mother's company. He does so and then has a bit of a nervous breakdown and develops an imaginary friend who he doesn't realize is an imaginary friend initially. So it's kind of a comedy version of Fight Club.
I want to be in this movie so badly in any small role.
Yeah. So he gets into all sorts of trouble with his imaginary friend, and then in the process of getting out of trouble, he realizes he has to integrate all the parts of himself in order to be a fully realized, successful individual.
Wow.
And he ends up influencing the lives of those around him, his girlfriend, and the girlfriend's mother, and everyone that goes through a transformation.
Where's that shooting?
Shooting in New York and Philadelphia.
Nice.
We have people attached like Jim Santangeli.
Is he the guy?
He's the child psychiatrist.
Okay. Oh, that's fun.
Because he ends up having to go to therapy.
Yeah, yeah.
And the people who specialize in imaginary friends are child psychiatrists.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's Jim Santangeli. And a lot of amazing people are attached, but please check out... I have an Indiegogo campaign right now that's running, and it's going very well, but any support would be so greatly appreciated. So please check out that. It's Bruce the Movie. You can...
Nice.
You'll see it on my Facebook page and stuff like that. And I'm just... hoping I'm not forgetting to plug any major projects I'm working on.
If you forget anything, let me know, and I will definitely make sure it's in the beginning of this episode.
Okay.
I mean, because I'm doing most of my plugs in the beginning also.
Okay.
But for me, quickly, at MarkLevy85, if you want to email the show, htmpod@gmail.com. Right now, from the top of my head, I only have one plug, which is the longest improv set. It'll be Easter Sunday, April 5th, Treehouse Theater. 154 West 29th Street from 12 to 12. And also keep in mind, on the Thursday before then, Formers in the Bucket will have its third show, which I'm very excited about. Same location, 11 p.m., $1 or a drink. Yeah.
Thank you so much for having
Phoebe,
me,
Phoebe, you've been awesome. I'm so happy that we had this episode.
And it's just so filled with laughter and yeah. And the
and, so many jokes. And Mike popping in every once in a while.
Oh, that was my favorite part.
Yeah. No. I was like, maybe you'll pop it. I don't know. Yeah. Well, Phoebe, it's been awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having
me. And I'll see you guys next time I hit the mark.
Okay.
Bye.